Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, and we find our way into chapter number 26. Isaiah and chapter number 26. As we explore Isaiah, we are now in a section, starting in chapter 24, where Isaiah is being directed by God to look to the future. Remember, Isaiah 24 went and took a look at what we would call the tribulation and gives an Old Testament view of what is going to happen in the judgment of the world and individual and the rulers during the tribulation period when people have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And chapter number 25, the focus shifts now away from, away from the judgment of the tribulation and begins to look at the victory when Jesus Christ establishes his millennial kingdom. And the explanation, the exclamation that the people had is said, "Behold our God!" And they said, "For we have waited for him." And that it is worth it to wait for God. It is a blessing to wait for God. It is rewarding. And when we come to face the Lord in judgment, when we go and be with him, we're not going to be ashamed that we read our Bible. We're not going to be sad about the times that we prayed. In fact, we're going to look and say, "I should have trusted God for more. And I should have done more, because it was worth it. Behold our God, for whom we've waited." And with that idea of victory, as we go into Isaiah 26, we now look more to the millennial kingdom and see that the millennial kingdom is special because of who is there, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me as we look together Isaiah 26 and verse number 1. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? "Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground, and he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul I have desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let the favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly. Will he not behold the majesty of the Lord? Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast also wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made them all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near in the time of her delivery is in pain, crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have been as if it brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is at the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast at the dead. Come, my people, enter in thy chamber, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Isaiah in chapter 26? Isaiah 26, and notice this powerful phrase in verse number 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. With that, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and mercy. Help us to be able to understand this passage and be able to see the principle of it, that we could be in perfect peace. Lord, thank you that you're real. Thank you that you're true. As we come to you, I recognize my own inability, that I have no ability. I'm just a broken vessel. But Lord, you can use even broken vessels to get your work accomplished as they're surrendered to you. So the best I know how, I ask that you fill me with your spirit, that you would get your own work accomplished through your word, that we could trust in you. And Lord, that we would learn more about who you are today and be drawn closer because of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Your name we pray. Amen. Well, as we said, Isaiah 26 is dealing specifically with the millennial kingdom and the victory that God is offering and the deliverance he is offering them, the justice that he's offering them, and the salvation that he is offering these people from their enemies. God is calling these people to trust in him, to depend upon him. Just as a context breakdown, we're going to take our time to look at the first four verses, but because we want to make sure that we have the context down, we know that there's a celebration of safety, that Isaiah is then going to contrast the downfall of the proud and the wicked and showing what he can do to take care of them. Notice there's an interesting thing of hope in verse number 19. The dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall thy arise. You understand that the idea of the resurrection is not just a New Testament passage. It's not just a New Testament doctrine. But in the Old Testament, it says that we have the hope of eternal life, of living physically with the Lord, and we shall inside of the millennial kingdom. What a wonderful God that we have. Again, there is so much in this passage on being able to trust in God and depend upon God. But let's see if we could just bring it down and see the principle that we're learning in these first four verses. If you don't mind, as we see that, again, God is going to protect the people, and he's going to protect his people, Israel, inside of the millennial kingdom, that God is also offering us the same protections here and now for us. Notice there are three things in these four verses that God is offering to protect us with. The first thing he wants to protect us with is salvation. Salvation. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. It says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. In here, we should probably understand a little bit about the ancient world. Now, in today's world, we have dangers that are a little bit different than they have in the ancient world. But in the ancient world, there were very real dangers for a city. For a city was vulnerable to several different attacks. They were vulnerable to animals like lions. Even today, there are villages in Africa that lions are a killer. And if they are able to wander in unimpeded into a town, they could do a lot of damage and a lot of harm. So walls would be there for a protection to keep the wildlife, those predators, from coming in. In addition, in the ancient world, the cities would be vulnerable, if they didn't have walls, to bandits, to robbers. They would be able to sweep in, and without a wall to keep them out, they could ride in whenever they wanted and go ahead and rob people in their houses, to go ahead and take things that weren't there, to go ahead and pillage them. And of course, we see that all throughout the ancient world when the Vikings came to England and began to pillage, and there was nothing there to stop them. And they could just go into a town and just rob whatever they wanted. In addition, a third vulnerable spot would be the armies. The armies would be able to march in. If they wanted to conquer a land and there was no walls to keep them out, they could just march right in, take over the town, and just keep moving on. And so in the ancient world, for a city to be protected, they needed to have strong walls. Strong walls in the ancient mind was something physical that they could see that would keep the enemy out, to keep the enemy at bay, to keep the enemy from coming in. Well, God says, I want to protect Jerusalem and the millennial kingdom, and I'm going to protect them myself. How is he going to protect them? Notice again in verse 1. He says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. That's very interesting. How is it that God will protect us with walls and for bulwarks, with salvation? Now, what is salvation? Salvation, in its basic meaning, is deliverance from a problem, from a situation, from a penalty. In dealing with spiritual salvation, it is God's deliverance from our penalty that we owe God of death, hell, and the grave. And that God is going to protect us, present tense, with salvation, that I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to die and be separated from God for all eternity. How? Because God has protected me with salvation. What is salvation? Well, salvation comes when I recognize and understand several truths. First of all, that I am a sinner. Without a doubt, we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm a pastor of a church. Now, hold your gasp, but I've told lies before. But you know, so have you. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something, it may shock you. I'm a pastor of a church, but I've disobeyed my folks. But so have you. We could call your parents up. In fact, your parents may be here, and we could just say, did you ever see your kids disobey? Have they ever disobeyed? And they would be, yes, my kids are not perfect. Not at all. There's none righteous, no, not one. So the problem is that we're all sinners. To make the problem worse, that heaven is a perfect place. In heaven, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. But what really makes heaven worth going there is that God is there. And the way that the Bible describes God is that he is holy, holy, holy. In essence, what we could say is that God is perfect, perfect, perfect. But the problem is because we are not perfect, we cannot abide next to a perfect God. We deserve to be separated from that perfect God. The Bible says that in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The word death carries the idea of separation. Because I am not perfect, because I've sinned, the wage or the payment that I owe is separation from God. Now, because I deserve to be separated from God, there's only one other place to go, and that's an awful place called hell. Now, you say, this is all bad news. It is bad news. But God finished off that verse in Romans 6:23, where he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God gave us a gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, if we'd be willing to receive it for ourselves. God has already done the work. Now, once you have accepted salvation, you know what you also have? God's protection. You say, how am I protected? You are protected from ever going to an awful place called hell. Because Jesus' work on the cross was enough. Amen. The Bible talks about in John chapter 10 that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're placed inside of Jesus' hand. And the Bible says that no man can pluck you out. That includes you. You're a person. You're a man. You can't jump out of God's hand. You can't leave it. You are protected. God will not lose you. He is not like the guys who lose their keys and the ladies who lose their driver's license and wallets and phones. God doesn't lose things. He doesn't leave it behind. He has you protected. John chapter 10 goes on and says, not only are you in Jesus' hand, but you're also in God's hand. And no man can pluck you out. You are double protected. You know, you have a protection with salvation is that you'll never owe God the debt of hell ever again. That God will not lose you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you behind. You are protected by salvation from death, hell, and the grave. Jesus got victory over that. You are protected from the wiles of the devil. If you run to Jesus, his name is a strong tower. And you could run to him and be protected. That he has given us the protection. As long as we stay within those walls, we are great. God has promised to protect us with his salvation. Isn't that wonderful that as a believer, I cannot lose my salvation? I cannot misplace my salvation? I cannot be threatened with losing my salvation? You say, but you still sin afterwards. Yes, I do. But remember when Jesus died on the cross, he died for my sins, the stuff I used to do, the stuff I'm going to do today, and the stuff I did in the future. In fact, if you want to be technical about it, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. That was all of my sins were in the future. He paid for them all. You say, well, does that mean that I could do whatever I want? No, that's not what it means at all. It means that God has you protected. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that if any man sin, or that you sin not, if any man sin, he have an advocate, that means a lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That we have a wonderful God who will even defend us in court, even when we're guilty. And he says, I object that sin has already been paid for. Isn't that wonderful? How does God protect us? He protects us, first of all, with salvation. That with his salvation, I can't be lost again. I cannot be misplaced. I cannot lose my salvation. I cannot be cast into hell. He has promised to protect me. Isn't that a wonderful God? That he could protect us with salvation. Notice, if you don't mind, there is a second thing that God can protect us with. We see this in verse number 2. Give me a second. Isaiah 26 and verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth shall enter in. What is the second thing that God can protect us with? He's going to protect Jerusalem in the future and protect us now. It is truth. Truth. Those that keepeth the truth. This is not the truth as men define it. It's not truth that's based off of feelings. We live in a very feeling culture. We live in a culture where people let their feelings determine. Where do we find truth? The Bible is very clear. Thy word is truth. Amen. Thy word is truth. God's truth protects us even against our own self. Do you know that people can lie to you? Do you know that people can sincerely lie to you? What do you mean by that, preacher? That means that they honestly believe what they're saying, but they're still saying things that are not true. Do you know that our feelings can lie to you? Some lady can say, I just feel like that other lady doesn't like me. You don't have any evidence over it, but you just feel, you just know. Well, we can't trust our feelings. There may be some times that you don't feel saved. Sometimes you wake up and you don't smell saved. You don't look saved. But again, salvation is based off of truth, not feelings, not discomforts. It is based off of truth. And the wonderful thing is that God protects us. Do you know that truth is actually part of the armor of God? That when God explains that in a spiritual warfare, how do we fight against the devil? The breastplate of righteousness, girding our loins with truth. That we are protected with truth. Do you know truth is a very big deal? With the truth of God's word, we can fight against things that leave us vulnerable. Let's just imagine that I wake up and I don't feel saved. Does that mean that I could go throughout the rest of my day acting like I'm not saved? No. But I don't feel saved. I had a dream that I'm not saved. Okay, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You know, our feelings can get us in a lot of trouble. You know, we can hype up our feelings. We can have someone give us a big and emotional speech, and all of a sudden our feelings are acting up. I feel that this is what I ought to do. Just because you feel you ought to do it doesn't mean that you ought to. What does the Bible have to say? We are guarded with truth. People do not put a big emphasis on truth, yet it is one of the things that God says to protect ourselves with. And we must learn to get truth from God's word. We know that the world treats truth as a negotiable. They like to negotiate it, whereas the word of God stands on authority. Do you know that the Bible doesn't change? This is applicable to all people at all time. We don't have to upgrade it to the times. We don't have to modify it to the culture. We don't have to adjust it to appease those who may not like it. The truth stands regardless. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make sure you get the right version on that. Make you free. What do you mean free? I have liberty. I'm not chained down. Do you know if I don't feel saved, I feel like I have to do things to keep me saved, to make myself saved? But with truth, I'm not under that bondage. I don't have to do anything to keep my salvation. I get to do it because of what God has done for me. My motives have changed. I don't do things in order to get something from God. I do it because of what God has already done for me. That is a freedom. I could do it out of love and not out of duty. There's a freedom that comes with it. There's a truth that comes from it. With this truth, it protects us from other things. In 1647, the Massachusetts Bay Colony passed what was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. It is the first law of compulsory education within the English colonies, the Old Deluder Satan Act. You said, that sounds strange. Well, what the Old Deluder Satan Act said, that they understood that the Satan's chief weapon was deception. So they passed a law that said that children need to be taught to read the Bible as early as possible. Because people who knew the Bible, the atrocities that happened in Europe, like the Inquisition or the Crusades, none of those were biblical. Both of those were Catholic acts of people that were not following the Bible. If people knew the Bible, the atrocities that happened within Europe could not happen in a land where people knew the Bible. So the first act of public education, of compulsory education, telling kids that they need to go to school, was for the purpose for them to read the Bible. by the 1700s and the early 1800s, a child could read the Bible from cover to cover at age 4. By the way, by the time they were 13, they were going to college. What happened? Well, you see, people started experimenting with education, and it was a spiritual thing to keep people from reading their Bible. Do you know there's a court case going on right now where a guy is suing his high school because he cannot read, saying his high school let him down? We have so many people who can't read, and if you have a hard time reading, you don't want to read the Bible because reading is difficult for you. You have now become vulnerable to truth, because if you don't read it for yourself, you are then going to be dependent on someone to tell you the truth. And you know, people can make mistakes. I'm going to make you gasp again. But your pastor is not perfect. No one looks surprised. Okay. Do you know that I can make mistakes? I can say things that are wrong. What is your source to make sure? For you to know what the Bible says for yourself. That's why it's always been important for me as a pastor for people to read the Bible for themselves. Because even if I'm trustworthy and you just say, well, I'm just going to listen to what pastor says, what happens if you get a new pastor? How are you going to know that he is saying things that are true? You see, when people aren't basing things off of truth, they have to base it off of other things, and those other things can change. You say, well, what if we just base it off of our moral society? Do you know morals of a society change? There are things that are going on right now that we wouldn't have dreamed of 40 years ago. Morals change. Feelings change. Values change. Laws change. Countries change. Science changes. Science changes. As they learn more things, they discover they have to readjust. Those things, our knowledge of science, rather, is what changes. The only eternal thing that does not change in this world is what we could hold in our hands. This eternal word of God. Thy word is truth. That means that I need to base everything I do off of here. If I decide that I had a dream one night and that I just saw helpless kids in Africa and I need to do something for them, I can go rush off to Africa and go get myself in lots of trouble because I wasn't guided by God. And I can end up hurting myself and hurting lots of other people. I can have a dream, a real dream, that my wife is going to kill me and I could live the rest of my days in paranoia. When she's going to pull this off, I just know she's going to kill me, and it may make me respond differently to her. Maybe even take matters in my own hands to protect myself. Do you know that people do that? That's one of the things that said why I killed my spouse, is I was afraid they were going to kill me first because I had a dream. And it became a reality. Those feelings became truth to them. One of our problems is that we have a lack of communication. And because of our lack of communication with each other, spouses, family members, people, whatever else, we fill in the information that we don't know with feelings, thoughts, imaginations. We fill in the gaps. And we can make someone completely different. Let me give an example. Let's just say that someone met someone on the internet, which is a thing now. And do you know that people could put a different profile picture than what they really look like? It may shock you, but you know, they could put up a different picture. And they could also make themselves sound different on a phone. They could purposely talk different. They could give a salesman. And you say, well, I know them. I talked for hours on the phone, week after week. Well, what happens is you're only getting a version of it. Your imagination fills in the rest of it. Then when you meet that person and they find out they are a completely different person than what you imagined them to be. Have you ever met someone that you heard lots about and then you met them and they were different? Because your imagination, it wasn't based off of truth. You see, truth, without truth, it leaves us vulnerable. It is one of the areas within our life today that we're the most vulnerable to. Your emotions may be real, but it doesn't mean they are true. Your thoughts may be real, but it doesn't mean they are true. You may think things on YouTube are real, but that doesn't mean they are truth. Something that someone wrote in a magazine, even a science magazine, it may look like truth, but it may not be. How do we find our source of truth? It is this, and it's through this that we are protected from deception. Deception's a very big tool of the devil. Satan is a liar. You think after 7,000 years he's learned how to lie well? The Bible says that he could fool the very elect. That means Christians. He could fool Christians. How does he fool Christians? When they're not in the Bible. By the way, as a reminder, the greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to be the Word of God for yourself. And the way to protect you and your family, your belief, your church, is to be in the Bible. You understand that if we all stand on this Word, we're all going to be going together. Why are churches having fist fights? Why are churches being broken apart? Because they're not looking at the Bible. They're looking at an opinion, a thought, an issue. But we agree to stand on God's Word, we're going to be facing the same direction going together. This brings a unity. When people don't base it on the Bible, they're vulnerable. Why are churches in trouble today? Because they're not standing on truth. Truth is one of the protections that God gives to us. Well, what else do we have that God protects us for? That we know that we have God's protection and salvation. We have God's protection because of truth. But notice we have something else here. Notice in verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, when we see the word for or because, we could often ask the question, why? How? How can our mind stay in perfect peace? Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What gives us protection? What's the third thing? Trusting in God. Trusting in God. This is a simple call, but it is everything. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Notice, if you don't mind, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Not imperfect peace, not irregular peace, not passing peace, perfect peace. You know, there's a lot of Christians, even in churches like this, that don't have this perfect peace. Amen. They live their life in anxiety, worry, fret, strife. That they are just one bad incident from the sky is falling panic. They are not settled. But you know, that's one of the things that God can give to us is perfect peace. You know, if you can live your life in not panic mode, you have a lot of protection. When is some of our most foolish decisions made? Yeah. When we're doing a knee-jerk reaction. Amen. When we're responding and reacting rather than trusting God by faith. We can ruin relationships. Go back. I had a dream that my wife was going to kill me, so now I respond to her. And now I did ruin a relationship that wasn't in danger, but just because I reacted and responded, I could ruin that. I could ruin friendships. I could ruin all kinds of things when I am not trusting in God and I become vulnerable. By the way, are you starting to get a sense that one of our biggest vulnerabilities is emotions? Now, I'm not saying that we're living a life stoic without emotions. God gave us emotions. But we have to understand we have to filter emotions through the Bible and not filter the Bible through our emotions. What does the Bible have to say? And then I base it off of there. I trust in God, that God can give me perfect peace when my mind is stayed on thee, keeping our eyes on the Lord. By the way, as a quick little reminder, how do we keep our mind on the Lord? Meditate on his word. God's word is truth. it goes back to his Bible and trusting in him, that we could be kept in perfect peace. Now, there's a lot of people who desire peace. There's a lot of people who would pay for peace. There's a lot of people with anxiety. A lot of people, just there's a panic in here. There's a lot of people who, because of it, they will be told they need to take a pill for the rest of their life to calm down the anxiety. There are people who are going to be told you're going to have to be a counselor the rest of your life, or be in counseling for the rest of your life. You understand that's more bondage. There's no freedom and there's no victory in there. But God promised us that we can have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? This is key. Because I trust in him. You could say you're looking to the Lord all you want, but if you don't trust him, it doesn't work. Do you trust him? Can you trust God to supply for your bills? Or do you panic, the sky is falling, I got to figure someone out, some way to get my bills paid? Can you trust God when you mess up and there's going to be consequences? Can you trust him? Or do you, sky is falling, I don't know what I'm going to do, it's all going to end, I don't know what to do. It doesn't matter what situation you fall in, God wants to protect us with peace. That no matter what we go through, we can have perfect peace when our minds are stayed on thee. Why? Because we trust him. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Trusting in him isn't complicated. It's just like a child running to his father when he's afraid. Daddy, 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 daddy. I need you. I need you. You know, the child isn't calculating how strong his father is. Amen. The child isn't wondering and calculating, is he enough? It's the simple faith, it's daddy. That's all I need. It's daddy. Daddy. And to run to him and let daddy take care of it. I'm so thankful that just simple faith as a child, we just run to God. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. Lord, I messed up. I need you. Lord, I'm afraid this is going to happen. I need you. God wants us to enjoy the life that we have. And yet there are so many people who are not enjoying the journey. They're not enjoying the life that they have. And because of that, they're open and vulnerable. You know, believe it or not, Google keeps track of searches. I know that may shock you too. But to be able to see how many people search how to have peace, it's a pretty big number. How can I sleep at night when I'm too worried? Those are searches. How can I stay calm? How do I get rid of anxiety? What do I do when I'm not thinking right? And you see all of this. Counseling services are going out of the roof, and there's a lot of people you should not trust. Why? Because we have a time where people are not stuck with the Bible. And because of that, they are vulnerable. How does God protect us like a city? He protects us with salvation. And when we have salvation, we can't ever be lost or cast out. He will never leave us nor forsake us. How does he protect us? He protects us with truth. And then we have the truth of God's word. And we trust God's word over feelings, over emotions, over the news, over our friends, over our counselors. We trust in the Bible first of all. We are protected. And when we just trust in him and depend on him and let God be God, we are protected, running to him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding. Amen. Trusting the Lord forever means that I'm not depending on my wisdom because my thinking can be wrong. Now, that's one of our first things we have to deal with. My thinking can be wrong. I know that sounds like a foreign concept, because why do people get in trouble? Because they think they're thinking correctly. You have to acknowledge that perhaps I'm not thinking correctly. I may not have all the information. It could be that, guess what? I honestly don't know what that person's thinking. It could be the person that's staring at me with that look. Maybe they're thinking about something else and not actually looking at me. How does God protect me? He protects me through salvation. How does God protect me? He protects me with truth. How does God protect me? When I keep trusting in Him, and He will keep me. He will keep me. And He will keep my mind in perfect peace. He didn't say He'll keep the situation in perfect peace. He said, I'll keep my mind in perfect peace. Amen. So let me ask you, dear friend, are you protected? Or have you found yourself that you're vulnerable? How can I tell? Do you have perfect peace? Not some peace. Do you have perfect peace? Do you have a peace that you say, I know God's got things handled. I don't know how. It's none of my business. God's got things handled. I trust in Him. I'm reading His word. I'm trusting His word. I'm allowing God to correct me when I'm thinking wrong. I can let God take care of me. Isn't that wonderful that you can have protection now? And there's so many people who need this protection. Is your mind in perfect peace? Dear friend, are you 100% sure if you were to die? Are you 100% sure that you'd be going to heaven? Do you have this promise of protection because of salvation? Dear friend, have you been in the truth? Have you been learning the truth and basing things off of truth? That you're able to discern lies because it doesn't line up with the Bible. Are you protected with truth? And then are you protected by trusting in God? The evidence is that He keeps you in perfect peace. Are you trusting in Him or are you depending on something else? Dear friend, are you protected by God? Do you allow Him to keep you protected? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much again for You being a wonderful God. And as we come to You, I'm just praying that this is a help. Lord, we're trying to keep things simple. We can trust You. Maybe there's someone in here that has been living a life full of anxiety, living a life that is not peaceful, that inside of their head, it is like a full-blown riot. I'm asking that You would help show these people true peace that comes from You, from Your salvation, that comes from Your truth, and comes from trusting You. Help someone to get victory in their life today. Help someone to learn and see for themselves that You do offer a real peace, not an imaginary peace, a real peace that passes all understanding. Help someone today with victory. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.